Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com. True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, and Chris.
Welcome into a bonus edition of Fantasy Baseball today on Thursday, March 28th. Frank Stanfield joined by Chris Towers and a very special guest, one that has racked up 1,382 managerial wins, three-time manager of the year, two-time pennant winner, and 2016 World Series champion. Welcome to the show, Joe Maddon. What's going on, Joe?
Hi, Frank and Chris. All good, man. I'm in Pennsylvania, not far from you guys. Happy opening day. Excited about this like you guys are. So I'm having a good old time, and I'll start watching the games a little bit later today, too.
Yep, we were talking beforehand. Unfortunately, no early games because of the weather, but thank you so much for taking the time. Happy opening day to you as well. Kind of feels like it should be a national holiday, right? No one has to work. No one has to go to school. Just watch baseball all day, right?
It used to be like that when Cincinnati was the opening day back in the days. It was all about the Reds. And it was pretty certain that the kids got off from school. It was a big event. There was a parade, all that kind of good stuff. I mean, we've gotten away from some traditions. I understand the impact of having everybody play today and what that's all about, et cetera. But there was something cool about that when the Reds used to open up the season. You knew baseball season was officially open when the Cincinnati Reds versus whomever played in Cincinnati and everything shut down.
I think we need like three extra national holidays right at the beginning of the year. We need the day after the Super Bowl, the first day of the NCAA tournament, and opening day of baseball. Let's just get one in February, March, and April. Let's do it.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, those are really deserving kind of days. And I think post-Super Bowl probably ranks as the most important one, it sounds like.
Least productive day of the year, for sure.
And I got to get myself together again. I get it. Totally get it.
Joe, we've got some questions for you regarding players that you've managed, different teams that you've managed, some stats, analytics, things like that. But let's start off here. So stolen bases are very important in fantasy baseball. Ron Washington wants the Angels to run more this year. We know that you have managed Mike Trout, and he is very fast, certainly fast enough to steal, I would imagine, many bases. But he has just six stolen bases over the past 4 years. Do you think Mike Trout will run more this year, or do they maybe need to preserve him so that he could stay on the field more?
You know, I would bet that he's not going to run much more, if I had a bet. Because when I was with Michael, I mean, he's had a lot of injuries, man. You know, and if you want, yeah, it's wonderful. I think if it's like obvious that it's a no-brainer, go, because there's no chance to get you thrown out, or if you have to really work at it, it would be a different thought. So I would say this probably might be an uptick, but not to the level that it's going to be prodigiously different. I think you're going to see a lot of the same.
How would you have handled the change in the rules last year, and how would your teams have played if you were managing with, you know, the limitations on pickoffs and all the stuff that we saw last year?
Yeah, I mean, that was really okay. From an offensive perspective, you would really work on that in the off season. I mean, in the spring training off season, to really try to encourage guys to go more often. primarily between first and second. Obviously, second and third has always been to me like somebody that's really slow and definitely a left-hander you want to take advantage of. But trying to steal second base, the fact that you have limited times to throw over, there would be probably some hard and fast rules you would discover by during the season that you would want to incorporate with your team to make sure that they did run more often. So yes, that would be part of it. Now, from the defensive side, I was surprised there wasn't more pitch outs. That's mm-hmm. the one thing I was surprised with. You get to that second time throwover, just to advance scouting and knowing who you're playing, I think that you'd have had been able to take some guesses regarding pitch outs, especially with guys with command, your pitchers with command, that you weren't really concerned with them giving them a ball, right? Analytically, that's frowned upon. I know mm-hmm. that. But again, I mean, that's a perfect world. We're talking about an imperfect world. If I could dissuade you from trying to steal only because I've thrown over twice, there's some kind of advantage to be gained from that. So I think offensively, go. And we would definitely try to pinpoint exactly who's going to be brave or who's going to try different things or not. And once you've determined that, because it's going to hold true, managers are going to be the same. They're going to adhere to the same kind of routines. Mm-hmm. And you're going to know that. And conversely, defensively, I'd have been more aggressive, I think, with a pitch out.
Yeah, so we're talking about stolen bases here early on, and steals were up last year, kind of pondering whether or not Mike Trout could run more. There were three players with 50-plus stolen bases last year. Ronald Acuna led baseball with 73 steals. You had the pleasure of managing some really fast players yourself. Somebody like Carl Crawford, right, back in the day, how many steals do you think someone like Carl Crawford would have had in this environment?
Again, it's about beating up your body, too. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's not even discussed. You know, back when Ricky did it and, Rock Raines did it and to a different level, like even Vince Coleman, of course, there's a lot of beating up of your body going on right there. So that would be part of the consideration. So my point is, I don't know if Carl would have run more mm-hmm. just based because his body could withstand so many. And Carl always slid feet first. He wasn't a hit first slider. So how much of that could your body absorb? How many strawberries? How many? How hard is the ground in this particular field? And you know that going into it. So am I going to try this or not? So I don't know. I mean, I would say there'd be an uptick. I don't mm-hmm. think it'd be as significant as you would think. Whatever his biggest number was, maybe add 10 or 15, I think. But you have to consider the physical toll it takes on a guy too and his willingness to keep beating his body up.
Yeah, I mean, that makes me think of, like, I was a Marlins fan growing up. I'm still a Marlins fan. I always remember Juan Pierre would hold his batting gloves mm-hmm. while he slid head first. And that's one of those things that, you know, for fantasy, we just run, just go, go, go. But there are, you know, those kind of things that we don't necessarily take into account, like trying to stay upright. And that's why I think the Mike Trout question, you know, we've been trying to figure out. He's still one of the fastest players in the league by all the tracking stats. But it's just how much of it is just, it's harder for him to stay on the field when he's running like that. So, you know, that perspective is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all it's about. I mean, mm-hmm. if he was, you know, his mid 20s and never had all these little maladies, I'm sure this rule, he would have been salivating over this rule. Right. But under the circumstances where he's at, you look at it recent last couple of years, mm-hmm. how much he's not been on the field and why would he want to contribute to the potential of that happening again? Which he is. I mean, by just not only the fact that you're running and sliding, but just starting and stopping,
yeah.
what it does to your legs, to go and I didn't get a good jump and stop. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on out there that's never accounted for mm-hmm. that takes its toll. So I would bet that he might, but not by a lot.
On a kind of similar note, you know, you managed Shohei Ohtani when he was both pitching and hitting, and this season coming back from elbow reconstruction, not Tommy John. Do you think there's a chance he can be even better of a hitter this season when he's not having to focus on pitching once a week?
I think theoretically you would think that, but the part mm-hmm. that I would concern me is the fact that he no longer has to split his concentration. Thus, is he going to think too much about it? Mm-hmm. Is he going to work too hard on it? Does he not have this other thing to go to when he isn't feeling really well? Again, is he just going to focus too heavily on it? Now, okay. You would think, again, I mean, I think in a perfect world, you would think that, yeah, he's going to it's going to be better because this is all I got to worry about today. But I even have BJ as a possible topic here today. When I had BJ as my first year with the Rays, he was coming up. And defense, it was an infielder. So there was a concern like errors, this and that, where you're going to play him. So I thought in order to get his bat rolling and really play to his offensive potential, give him several defensive positions to play because he would then focus on that. And then he would just go hit. He didn't have time to think about his hitting enough to the point where it's going to get in the way. So actually, I thought the method of, okay, I want you to have a second base glove, a shortstop glove, an outfield glove, et cetera. So every day I want you to take ground balls, whatever, all these different places, and then go hit, of course. So now he's not going to spend all this inordinate amount of time worrying about his offense where he's got to think about all this defensive stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like, if you just focus on one thing, if that's necessarily going to be better or not.
Interesting.
Joe, you had the pleasure of managing both Trout and Ohtani on the same team, two of the best players of this generation, maybe all time. I'm sorry, but I've got to put you on the spot. If you could build a team around just one of them, Mike Trout or Shohei Ohtani, who would it be?
Well, it is a tough one. I mean, obviously, you know, Shohei is everybody used the term unicorn, whatever that is. The fact that he can win, I don't say 20 games. I don't know that he's going to pitch often enough and throw enough innings to win 20 games. But he should be good between, you know, 12 to 15 is a good year for him. And offensively, he's not going to gain you any points on defense necessarily. But offensively, you've seen what he's already done. And the part about him that you're going to see if you talk about Trotty, Shohei's going to run this year, I think. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see even more benefit from him offensively from the space thing perspective. So, yeah, I would build it around Show. The other thing about Show is just say he can't pitch anymore. Just say. Something happens or this guy could be an all-star and Hall of Fame performer on defense. I would say right field. So I think if you really wanted to pair him up, you got Trotty as an everyday center fielder, Show is an everyday right fielder, that's where it becomes interesting who would you pick. But the fact that Show could win 12 to 15 games as a pitcher, I think, bends in his favor.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As stats and analytics are evolving constantly, Joe, and Stuff Plus is one that's grown in popularity in recent years, and it attempts to do exactly that, measure the stuff of certain pitches using various pitch characteristics, whether it's velocity, release points, spin rates. Did you ever have something like that, all-encompassing, Stuff Plus, or did you ever use anything like that? Do you find it to be predictive? Because what we're trying to do, you know, fantasy baseball podcast, we're trying to predict performance. So what do you think about stats like that?
Stats like that, I think, would, if you have a platoon, especially offensively, I really like that kind of stuff. I mean, who's sensitive to elevated velocity, as an example, as a hitter, or who really handles the elevated velocity? Who is a big chase guy versus the pitcher that relies on chase? I mean, I think it's very predictive in that regard. And furthermore, to give somebody a day off, a regular a day off, you would look into those kind of things to really try to maximize the day off in regards to this is the least good are potentially good matchups. So this is the day I want to give Mikey off, Trout off, or Shohei off. The platoon guy, definitely you would read into those kind of things to match them up, even to the point I might play a right on right or left on left. I mean, the reverse split stuff doesn't get spoken about enough. Mm-hmm. If you remember, we played Romero, the pitcher for the Blue Jays several years ago. He was from Cal State Fullerton, left-hander. I wanted all lefties on him. And then they had Markham. Was it Markham, the right-handed pitcher?
Yeah.
Guy? Say opposite. I wanted all righties on him. So I would look at all this stuff, the reverse splits as an example. Reverse splits, elevated sensitivity, velocity, sensitivity to chase. Talking from an offensive perspective right now, I think that's where you really delve into it. On the pitching side of it, it's more bullpen related, I think, in regards to matchups. Because you're going to pitch your starter regardless. Although, if you have a chance to, I might start Frank today instead of Chris based on stuff, last game of the series. I might choose one or the other based on their lineup versus your abilities, as an example. So, yeah, you look at all that stuff all the time. Regular player, everyday player, well rested, you probably don't even consider any of that. But it's the platoon guy, or if you're looking to give somebody a rest, I'd be more delving into that kind of stuff. And this goes back. This goes back, shoot, with the Rays and Devil Rays. That's when we started doing this stuff. Andrew and I and Eric would get together, and they would point these things out to me, because I did that prior to that when I was at the Angels, but I didn't have the sensitivity of elevated velocity baked into my number, or the fact of somebody chased or not. It was primarily reverse split kind of a thing was a big thing for me. I would look a little bit about history, but I knew that there was not necessarily indicative. Although if it was prodigious, like who was there, was a guy that just absolutely killed David Price. I mean, killed him. He was like 12 for 10 against him, right? Something stupid like that. So it's a small sample size. Why'd you want to go that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because when that dude walks into batter's block, David knows that he beats him up. That matters too. So there's human elements to this matchup stuff that I would not run away from. But when it came down to the mathematical side, I was absolutely into it.
So one thing that all that makes me think of is, like, you look at the team like the Rays now, who, you know, they don't necessarily have like the superstar player. They don't have a Shohei Ohtani. They don't have a Mike Trout. So they sort of approach the regular season as if every game's a playoff game. And, you know, we did. Yeah. And that's probably what you have to when you're playing in a small market and you don't have the resources to compete. You've got it. But one thing that I think about with the Rays is, you know, there's a lot of talk every year about they go out and they win 90, 96, 100 games in the regular season. And then, you know, they've only won one postseason game in the last 3 years. And it makes me think of, you know, Billy Beane, the famous quote, our stuff doesn't work in the playoffs. And I wonder, is that something with the Rays where, because they're treating every regular season game like the playoffs, are they at a disadvantage when it comes to the playoffs, or is it just randomness?
I still think it's randomness. We 2008, we go all the way to the World Series, right? That was a good team. We had a really well-balanced team, and we could hit for power, run. We had a great defensive team. If anything, we probably, which was our strength, was our normally is our strength, the pitching was kind of woven together. I mean, we lost Percy, so all of a sudden Balfour and J.P. Howe become your guys. Middle inning closers became popular with us back then. Offensively, we did do some platooning, but we played some defense, brother. We had some defenders on that team, and that always showed up on a daily basis. So were we built for it? I just think that team had the depth to perform that time of the year. Part of it was that we had to play the Red Sox a lot and beat them, and we had to play the Yankees a lot and beat them. So there's like this competitive thing that you learn how to win in very difficult venues on the road. But then you go after that. We couldn't get past the Rangers. Adrian Beltran, three homers in one game, beats us in at the Trop. Okay, I think it was 3-2 or 4-2, whatever. But you got this superstar dude, this player that just beat you. So I don't know if it comes down to singular performance sometimes. And maybe after 2008, we didn't necessarily have that guy. We're in 2008. I mean, look what BJ did. Look what Longo did. You talked about Carl earlier. Jason Bartlett, a really good player. Carlos. We had more of that individual talent, I think. And then you get to the later years, we pitched our butts off, man. So the pitching got really good. We caught the ball, but we could not score enough. I mean, with the Cubs, even with the Cubs, we didn't win some playoff games there in 15 and in 17 just because we didn't score enough. I mean, we ran out of offense at some point. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'm answering your question or not.
Yeah.
I just think that to say you're built for it or not, that comes up to individuality, man. Do you have Michael Jordan on your team? Do you have do you have Larry Bird on your team? Do you have Derek Jeter on your team? Do you have that one dude that just pulls you through in some difficult moments? I still believe that is why the Yankees dynasty occurred. More recently, you know, the Dodgers, they're relying on some a nice group of guys that their leadership is spread out. It's not just one or two people. So I don't know. To be built for it or not. And then again, were the Diamondbacks built for it last year? You know, I mean, although I love the way they played, I don't know. It's
there's no one size fits all.
It right on daily, on a year annual basis, it just changes, I think.
Joe, let's wrap up with this. I know that you're working with Sage here on opening day, and I've got a video. Mind if I play this for you?
Wow, go ahead. It's really well done.
Joe Madden, he came in this morning. He got introduced to talking about money with budgets, things about forecasting, scheduling.
Joe?
Hey.
Didn't seem to know his way around this environment. He was a little out of his element.
I'm a little worried about Joe, but everything's a baseball analogy, and we're a construction company.
Superintendent's the manager?
Superintendent's your starting pitcher.
Okay. Quite frankly, I'm looking at that. I don't really understand that. You can't always get what you want, but you got to make it work somehow.
Right, but the numbers here show you that you can get what you want, and the data allows you to get the job done right.
Joe, I'm always looking for the right tools and insights so that I can make better decisions in my business.
I'm all into that. I've been a data guy, still am. But I'm also a heartbeat guy.
I've been fortunate to build a team and a lineup of good people. You can't get here without having a good team behind you.
Brother, that is absolutely perfect.
Very fun stuff. You're working with Sage, Joe, a company that prides itself on increasing efficiency by offering insights and data, which helps you prepare for your day-to-day tasks. Why was this a partnership that you were interested in?
Well, they approached me, first of all, and I philosophically were very much aligned. The union, the marriage between data and the heartbeat, and they understood that about me, and I understand that about them. I think in today's game, today's world in general, in industry, all we hear about is information, numbers, and math, that we don't hear enough about what's going on in somebody's chest, their tummy, and in their brains. I think it's important. It's vital. It's paramount to morph together both. Yes, I want. We were just talking about that. I explained to you why or how I would set up matchups based on sensitivities to different issues that I could only know through the matrix that I would be receiving, and I'd need to know how that matrix was manufactured. What amount of weight did you put into each element of this? How much was elevated velocity considered? How much was walks over strikeouts considered? And so when I look at this number, I always wanted to know, how did you derive this number too? Just don't give me a number. What was the equation? Who were the analysts that put this together? Because go from one team to another, you're going to get different numbers based on bias of each group. And that's just absolutely true. So you got that. And me as the manager, I have to be able to read the people that are giving me information too. I don't think that's spoken about enough. And then you got me. So I've been doing this since, I don't know, 81. So I've had that many years of experience, and I will rely on feel and wisdom and experience to make judgments or decisions, which I think is, for lack of a better word, wise or sage, right? So I think when you just get too heavy-handed, one way or the other, all analytical or all heartbeat, you're missing the point. It's always about balance. And that, when I spoke to the people from Sage, we were absolutely philosophically aligned in that on that point. And to me, that's the way to go about either running a business or a ball club.
Absolutely love that. World Series champion, manager Joe Maddon, we appreciate you so much for being here. Happy opening day, man.
Gentlemen, nice to meet you guys. I wish you nothing but the best in the future. That was a lot of fun for me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, you too.
We're going to wrap there. For Chris and Joe, I am Frank. Thanks, as always, for tuning in to Fantasy Baseball Today, and we will be back again later on tonight. Bye-bye. Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.